Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Before we start our show, I just want to tell you to that you'll be hearing about a gift that we're going to be giving you a little later on. Later on, I'll be telling you a little bit more and a little greater detail about that gift. Actually, it's two gifts. So later on, we'll discuss that, and I'll tell you how you can order your gift that we'll be happy to send out to you. In the meantime, the theme of our show today is meditation, part two. And all the dialogue that you hear on this show, Inner Sight, emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and everything that we speak about, all the spiritual philosophy, all the discussions we have comes from her literature, as does this thought. The basic objective of meditation is to enable an individual to become, in outer manifestation, what he or she is in inner reality. And we'll probe this and explore that comment. It's an interesting thought. And I think we'll start our show with that explanation. How does meditation enable a person to become what he or she is in inner reality?
Perhaps a good way to begin would be to explain what we mean by the inner reality. If you think of the real meaning of the word personality, I think it's from the, Latin or Greek persona, which is a mask. The early Greek drama was actors wearing masks that they literally held in front of their faces to disguise themselves. It was a character, a personality that they took on and played through. And in a way, that's similar to each of us. We are the soul who has come into incarnation and who is playing its part through a mask called the personality. And the point of meditation and of the whole spiritual path is to break away that mask, that form that disguises the real indwelling being who is in its origin and its ultimate destiny divine. But the mask may not be quite so divine. Mm-hmm. The mask of the personality is all too human, and that's where the expression, the feet of clay, come in. In fact, I think the masks that Greek drama used were made of clay, but anyway. So to become who we are in inner reality is to become our true soul self. Meditation helps to do that by building a bridge in consciousness that creates a path of energy flow between the outer person, the person we think of as Robert or Sarah or Dale, and the inner soul, which is the initiating impulse to incarnate. And the ageless wisdom says that the soul is one in all human beings. There is, in fact, no real substance to the idea of my soul and your soul. There is simply the soul. And connecting with that inner reality is the point of meditation. There's a symbol that probably many people in our audience are familiar with that I like to work with in meditation. It's the six-pointed Star of David, which is, in fact, two triangles, one pointing downward, one pointing upwards, superimposed upon each other. Mm-hmm. And I like to ponder on that double triangle, to think about the merging of inner reality with the outer person. The one triangle can be thought of as the threefold expression of the soul, the higher self, which is the qualities of love, knowledge, and sacrifice. Superimposed upon the threefold personal nature, which is the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. And when we think of this triangle perfectly superimposed so that it looks like a six-pointed star, that's a good image to think about becoming, on the outer level, who we are in inner reality.
Yes, and in one of the related to that, one of the emphasis, part of the emphasis in meditation is this stage called alignment. Mm-hmm. And that's a word that's is very meaningful, because without alignment, this proper alignment, this soul energy is not going to get through, and that's probably why it doesn't anyway, because, as you say, the persona, the personality has its own kind of life, and it interrupts the flow of energy from the soul, and it's so that that alignment isn't present. And meditation opens that alignment with the soul and allows this soul energy to flow freely into the outer world, and all of that inner reality of the soul, the love, the qualities of love, and the qualities of light, and the qualities of the will to good, all of that flows into the world by way of the alignment with the personality.
Meditation is the means by which this alignment is effected. And when it's established very well by the quieting of the mind and the opening up of the path to the higher self, the soul, it lets in light. It lets in the light of consciousness. And most of us have a lot more light than we would ever realize. I think the tendency is to think that we exist in darkness and we acquire light by going to a book or a teacher or something outside ourselves, when in fact this path leads within. It's an inner indwelling reality that we're trying to access. We don't have to give up our autonomy, our spiritual autonomy, to anything outside ourselves. This was the whole essence of the Buddha's message. Look not to anyone outside yourselves for help. Not because he wanted us to suffer and go the hard route, but because he knew that each of us has within us the resources we need to take whatever our next step forward might be. And meditation is the means by which we become more and more, on an outer level, who we really are on the inner true level of being. It certainly transforms how you view others. If you are in the habit of thinking of liking and disliking people, favoring some, not favoring others, being amenable to some types of people and against others, all of that is shot to bits by the idea that each person on the inner level is the soul. And there is that need to keep that in mind, even when there is discord on the outer level, because we can't minimize the fact that there's inharmony among human beings. But ultimately, behind all the outer differences, which are real and considerable and terribly important in some cases, but behind all that, mm-hmm. there is that inner reality that is the little dim point of light that every human being is trying to crawl his way towards, consciously or not.
Wait a second. Are you saying that if my my physical self, my emotions, my feelings, the more that turns around and becomes more soul-like with compassion, quality, more it is in alignment with qualities of the soul, compassion, love, mm-hmm. understanding, then the more enlightened, the more further along on the spiritual path that I will go? Mm-hmm. Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Love okay. brings light. Light reveals love. Mm-hmm. there's a wonderful saying, as a man thinketh, so is he. That is the means by which we bring about this state of realization that you're talking about. We begin with the age-old technique of, as Shakespeare said, if you lack a virtue, assume it. As a man thinketh, so is he. You begin as if you are courageous, as if you are wise, as if you are confident, as if you are loving. You begin by assuming it, by putting it on as a mantle, and gradually it becomes part of your reality.
That's one of the techniques we use in the Arcane School, is the as-if technique, and it's very useful. And because, as it says in this question, meditation enables a person to become. So it's a process of becoming that which you already are on the inner side. And so it's a process of becoming and being what you really are in your spiritual self.
Another image I like that reinforces that idea is the ear of corn, which is covered by husks. And you have to peel away those husks layer upon layer to get at the real essence of the corn. And that's, in a way, what the soul does through its process on Earth. It peels away through its dynamic energy. It peels away the veil or the layer upon layer that creates this person that we think of as the self, which is, in fact, just a little fragment of the true inner being. And yet we mistake it for the real and total thing.
Now, would it be correct for me to say that, from my understanding, from what both of you are saying, would it be correct for me to say that we're almost, since we haven't achieved the soul qualities yet, or some people more than others, we really haven't been truly born until we become the soul. Is that true, or is that?
That's right. I think that's what the Christians, particularly the fundamentalist Christians, mean when they say they were born again. They have come into contact with their soul nature, I would guess, and it turns their life around, as it would any person who comes into contact with that inner energy. It may not make them feel or conclude that they're a born-again Christian, but they are transformed by it, and I think we should leave that opening as a possibility for any religious path, or not even a particularly religious path, but a spiritually awakening path. When you come in contact with that inner mobilizing energy, it transforms you.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and now I'd like to mention what I promised you earlier, and that is that we're giving you a wonderful gift that I think you'll like. All you have to do to acquire that gift, in fact, it's two gifts, is to call us on our toll-free number. And one gift is a booklet, and it's the title of it is an introductory guide to meditation. There are a number of topics about meditation. I think you'll recognize those topics just from the two shows that we've done on meditation. And then also, in addition to the booklet, an introductory guide to meditation, we'll also send out to you a cassette tape. The title of the cassette tape is Beginning to Meditate, where you'll be guided into meditation. I have derived a lot of benefits from meditation. I think also I can't, not to mention my state of mind, I think I've gotten a lot calmer by daily meditation. My health, I think, even has benefited from it. But there is a lot of other layers of meditation that are very profound that one can reach from getting involved in meditation. So once again, if you'd like to order those two gifts, we'll be very happy to send them out to you. Just call us on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247, and we'll be happy to send them out to you. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easier way to remember the toll-free number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. So once again, an introductory guide to meditation. That's a booklet. plus the cassette tape Beginning to Meditate. We'll be delighted to send them out to you if you give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's New York Lucis, or if you got a pen, you can write it down, 1-866-695-8247. All the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you want to make more direct contact with the Lucis Trust and its staff, you're welcome to come to our monthly meditation meetings. Of course, there's no charge. Just join us. Please write or call for a meeting schedule. Once again, write to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I know that in meditation there are, people recommend that you do certain breathing exercises, and they seem to involve special breathing exercises. Of what use are these breathing exercises?
Yes, there are some teachers and schools of meditation that give people breathing exercises, but we in the Arcane School do not advise the use of breathing exercises, and in fact we see on a fairly regular level what the premature or misuse of breathing exercises can do. It can leave people with permanent problems.
That's right, yeah.
Because it's they can be very powerful, and it takes a lot of training, a lot of knowledge to use breathing exercises properly. People always, I think, overestimate their spiritual readiness. If I could say one thing to take away with you, I would say, assume you know less than you think you do when it comes to spiritual practices of all sorts. Be humble. Be very humble about your readiness and your ability. And that applies to breathing exercises. They bring in what's called in, I guess, Sanskrit, prana, which is a term for the etheric energy that substands the outer worlds. It's fire of a sort, and it can literally burn up the vehicles of the mind, the emotions, the etheric body. If you believe that a human being is made up on a subjective level of an energy pattern that lies beneath the outer physical form, the fire of breathing exercises can disturb that pattern. Ideally, when one is skilled and ready, they can energize and accelerate the spiritual awareness. But one needs to know a great deal. Alice Bailey said that they should only be practiced when one has mastered the first three means to union, which is yoga. Yoga is the means to union. These include the five commandments of harmlessness, truth to all beings, abstention from theft, from incontinence, and from avarice. The five rules, which are inner and outer purity, contentment, fiery aspiration, and spiritual reading and devotion. And the third factor is poise, spiritual poise. When you've mastered all of those, then you can do breathing exercises. I'm not ready yet.
Okay. I think the there's one thing to point out here about breathing exercises, that the danger doesn't lie in the air that you're breathing into your lungs, because obviously we have to
do that.
We breathe, so we live. Where the danger lies is in the energy that underlies the breathing mechanism. And if you practice these very strenuous breathing exercises like rapid breathing, what you're doing is kind of pumping up that energy within your etheric mechanism, your etheric nature, and you're pumping in this more prana that you mentioned, and that's where the danger lies. It's overstimulating your system, and it can literally, you're playing with fire, and it can literally cause damage to your brain tissue, or open up these the chakras or the centers, the spiritual centers in the etheric body, open those up prematurely, and thus allow a great inflow of energy which the physical body isn't ready to handle.
Maybe you could say that breathing exercises don't bring light in terms of consciousness and awareness, which should be the goal of spiritual development. They bring power, and premature power is where all the problems arise. That's why you have to have purity and mental control to be able to handle that power.
Well, I've derived nothing but joy from meditation, so I'd like to know more about this. Are there any other dangers to look for when practicing meditation?
Yes, meditation brings in spiritual energy, so you have to learn to recognize the signs of overstimulation, just as you can overcharge a battery or over-accelerate the gas line in your car. You can over-accelerate your own mechanism, and signs of overstimulation would be nervousness, emotional irritability, physical agitation, inability to sleep. What else?
Well, as I said before, it can literally, overstimulation can cause damage to your physical brain, your brain cells.
Oh,
and
it really can.
That can lead to all kinds of problems.
But that happens when people really make an effort to charge themselves up. The kinds of overstimulation I'm describing are just the annoying effects that go away with rest and
with
relaxation.
Any, particularly the Raja Yoga techniques that we practice, it's very mental energy. It's dealing with the mind and the energies of the mind, and they do tend to be very stimulating. So you have to be careful, and one can't practice these meditations for any length of time. I mean, they have to, if someone is recommending you sit down for an hour or 2 hours in meditation using these techniques, then forget it. Pack up and go home, because that's going to be too dangerous, and it will lead just to a lot of negativity. So the meditation practice may be dynamic and brief, can be just as effective, and in fact more so, than these long, dragged-out meditations, which just become more and more stimulating to the physical body.
Yeah, and here we're talking again about Raja Yoga, the use of mental energy directed, mobilized for a specific purpose. Relaxation meditation, that's a whole different type of meditation, and I wouldn't comment on that.
Yeah. Well, could you briefly describe a meditation technique taught by the Arcane School, which is, of course, the school of the Lucis Trust? I'd like our listeners to have some idea of what's involved.
The meditation technique that I'm going to describe is one that's available in a booklet called Science of Meditation. So if anyone listening to this wants to have a copy of this, they can ask for the Science of Meditation
booklet.
Oh, great.
Third gift. Okay.
Yes.
I think that will
We've given it away many times.
I think it will come along with the cassette tape. If you order the cassette tape or beginning to meditate, you'll get this booklet.
Okay. And it's for free. It's our gift to you.
So you begin by sitting, not lying down. Always sit up to meditate. Sit with your spine erect, but not rigidly so. You don't have to assume the lotus position. If you're like me, you can't. Sit in a chair with a straight back. Be comfortable, relaxed, yet erect. Try to relax the jaw. Try to loosen up the tongue. Often there's a lot of tension within the jaw and the tongue, so try to keep that relaxed. Let your hands sit lightly in your lap, one on top of the other, and your feet crossed at the ankles. Then take a few slow, deep breaths while you just gradually empty out of your consciousness, whatever thoughts have been occupying your attention. These are just comfortable breaths, nothing spectacular. Just breathe out a few times, emptying yourself out of the preoccupations of the daily life, any anxieties or worries that might be with you. Then you use the creative imagination to imagine lifting the consciousness to a point inside and yet slightly above the top of the head. We're thinking of the energy body now, the not the physical head, but slightly above that, still and quiescent, seeing it as a quiet pool of light, and see a line of lighted energy radiating from that region to the soul, which brings in the access to the spiritual self. You visualize a further extension of a line of light towards the higher or abstract mind and to the divine self, and you hold that alignment in your imagination for a few minutes, not terribly long, just a moment. Then you pause as if you're in an interlude, aware of the light and the energy of the soul as it's pouring into the consciousness. And holding the mind steady in this light, you meditate for a few minutes on a seed thought. Remember, I talked about meditation with seed. Mm-hmm. For example, the thought, let the soul control the outer form and life and all events. Let love prevail, let all men love. Take that idea into your conscious analytical mind and develop it. Using your imagination, what would life be like if all people were responsive to love? What would the world be like if love prevailed? Develop it according to your experience and your understanding. And then you visualize the flow of energy radiating throughout the world, permeating all the levels of life, from the kingdom of souls to the human kingdom, the animal, vegetable, mineral realms, reaching every aspect of the physical manifestation, encompassing every living thing within it. And then, for a few moments, reflect on the ways that the energies of light and love are working out through human cooperation in all parts of the world. And finally, to release the energies received as a service to humanity, say the Great Invocation, which is how we always close this program, to radiate light and love and the will to good into human consciousness.
Oh, well said. And if people would like to have our gifts that we'll be happy to send out to you, once again, it's two gifts. We get three gifts, actually, we'll send out to you today. If you want those gifts, just give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.